The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will return." The Gospel of the Lord.
The passage we just heard is only part of a long conversation that St. Matthew records in chapters 24 and 25 of his gospel. And up until this point in the conversation, Jesus has been explaining what the age of the church, the period of history between his resurrection and the second coming, will look like. He has explained to his apostles that the age of the church will be marked by both wonderful growth and also painful persecution. He's explained that Jerusalem, the epicenter of the Old Covenant, will be destroyed to make definitive way for the New Covenant. He's explained that the world itself will eventually be destroyed to make way for the new heavens and the new earth. And then by referring to the example of Noah, he explains that although these things definitely will happen, the apostles can't know when. He says, "You do not know on which day your Lord will come." Jesus spoke about what he knew. His explanations were not mere theories. And when the apostles heard him, they recognized the sound of truth in his voice. So why is Jesus telling them these things? Why does the church remind us about them every year as Advent begins? God wants us to know that our time is limited, that our lives and history itself will eventually come to an end. He wants us to know this because he wants us to use our limited time wisely, living as true Christians. Jesus considers this lesson to be so important that he dedicates four separate parables to this theme before he finishes the conversation, driving the lesson home. And Jesus knew how easily even the most faithful disciple can fall into the trap of thinking that this earthly life is the goal and not merely the path. A few years ago, the letters of Mother Teresa were published, and her letters show that she spent most of her adult life suffering a terrible sense of darkness and loneliness of heart. The secular news media gave a lot of publicity to these letters, and the media seemed to rejoice in them, as if Mother Teresa's experience somehow proved that God didn't really exist, that having faith in God is a foolish thing to do, that Mother Teresa was some kind of hypocrite for staying faithful to a God who allowed her to suffer so much. But they completely missed the point. The point was that Mother Teresa understood the meaning of this life, and that's what gave her the strength to persevere through her trials and to carry her crosses. Our life on earth is a kind of Advent, a journey towards Christ who was coming. And the steps of that journey are steps of self-giving, not self-indulgence. Steps of self-forgetfulness, not self-centeredness. The media seem to forget how much good Mother Teresa achieved through her suffering, how much light and hope she brought to the world, simply because she had learned this lesson so well, which is that life on earth is the path, not the goal. We know this, we believe in the Lord, and we are constantly being reminded of this all-important truth, that life on earth, again, is only the path, not the goal. But knowledge, even the supernatural knowledge of faith, is only the first step. It's not enough to know that this life is a path. We must also travel that path. Traveling the path to our true destination involves a constant effort to be true to our Christian identity, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading. Now is the time, he wrote, to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The works of darkness are the different forms of self-indulgence that can distract us from our destination. And St. Paul summarizes these as orgies, drunkenness, promiscuity, licentiousness, rivalry, and jealousy. These desires of the flesh, as he calls them, are not evil because they're physical. After all, God made our bodies, he made the world, and our capacity to experience pleasure, all of which are good in and of themselves. But if they become disordered and marred by sinful inclinations, they can become evil and take control of our lives. When we become slaves of self-centeredness and self-indulgence, we become like a kind of black hole, turned in on ourselves, collapsing and destroying everything that comes into our field of gravity. But we're called to put on the armor of light, to be like bright stars, burning with the heat and light of 1,000 suns, burning with love for God and neighbor, shedding light on everyone around us by seeking what is good for them, just as Christ sought only what was good for us. The Advent candles are an image of the mission each Christian has during Advent, which is to consume ourselves, giving light and warmth to those around us, and passing on our flame to them. And that's how we make real headway on the path of life.